Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a former media buyer for television and radio. She's a marketing consultant and a digital entrepreneur. Upon leaving the corporate world, my guest started and developed three websites and communities for moms. Two of them were geographically based around a particular area code, and all three of them were acquired in 2013. She is now a mentor at Thrive 15, an online platform teaching entrepreneurs how to thrive in business. Now, let's hack Deidre Detterman. I'd like to take a moment to tell you about today's sponsor, Servata, a rapidly growing startup that has reinvented how you get consumer research for every decision. Testing creative, measuring demand for new products, tracking consumer trends, and more. Picture this. Imagine debating with a colleague about which logo to pick for a new product or discussing a consumer trend. They'll go by gut feel, while you will use Servata to ask hundreds of highly targeted consumers overnight to give you hard data for your decision. Servata's secret is brand new tech that collects respondents via the scale of the web, as opposed to slow and old-fashioned panels. The best part for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners? Name your own discount. Servata will match the respondents you purchase at no cost with no limit. Need to reach 200 millennial females in Florida? You'll get 400 for the same price. 2,000 baby boomers in the Midwest? You'll get 4,000. All of you have a decision this week that requires reliable data, so why wait? To redeem this free offer, visit servata.com/hack. That's servata.com/hack. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have another very, very special guest, Deidre. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, good. Yes, let's do it.
All right. Deidre, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Hard work. I wish it was simple and there was an easy answer to that. But honestly, you know, getting in there and doing hard work, I've yet to meet an entrepreneur that had it easy. And, you know, I think a lot of people go into entrepreneurship and start their own business because they want to control their schedule. They want to go on vacations. You know, they want to have this freedom, which, you know, comes down the road. But I will say, 12-hour days and hard work usually goes into it until you get to that point. So not to sugarcoat it and say that it is easy, because I think hard work is definitely the key.
Yeah, I think so. Have you got to those, to being able to make your own schedule now? And
yes, I am, you know, a little bit more, you know, I started a few websites and sold them, and I'm definitely working those 12-hour days for several years. And now I consult businesses, so I control my own schedule. And you know, there's definitely weekends and nights where I have to put in some work because it needs to get done. But I can a little bit more relax now and can, you know, go to my kids' events during the day if I need to. And I mean, there's definitely some times that you can do that, but it's usually a trade-off. You know, if I go for the afternoon and do a field trip with my daughter, then the next day I'm probably putting in a longer day or working at night to get it all done.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right. It's absolutely essential. Is I'm wondering if everyone now talks about like this whole quote unquote hustle that's kind of essential for entrepreneurs. And I'm wondering if hustle is different than hard work.
You know, I will say you can work hard and not smart, which is not good. And there's a lot of, I consult businesses and, you know, I'm a mentor on thrive15.com. We deal with a lot of thrivers that, you know, you're working, you can easily work a 12-hour day and not work smart in your business, you know, and not delegate the things, maybe like accounting, for example, that you're really not good at, but you're hammering all day and all night, trying to figure it out and get it organized, where you'd be smarter if you spent a little money and hired, you know, a part-time accountant to help you out and you put your energy into your best work, what you're good at. So I think there's a little bit of that. And I like the word hustle because I think hustle is you do whatever it takes to get the job done and whatever it takes to, you know, succeed. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes that's, you know, sometimes you're wearing the CEO hat and sometimes you're the janitor and sometimes you're customer service. You know, it's whatever it needs to happen at the time. And most of the entrepreneurs I've met that are successful are able to do any of that and put any hat on and really hustle and do what they need to succeed.
Yeah. Great clarification. So you've been in the marketing game for 20 plus years now, but you haven't always been doing it on your own as an entrepreneur. So let's go back if we can, because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either that they want to, or they have this calling to make something big and make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they just find that they cannot work for somebody else anymore. So Deidre, I would love to know which side of the fence you fall on and when you discovered this about yourself.
Yeah, so I would say definitely, you know, not wanting to work for somebody else was a huge factor. I worked at Clear Channel Television, which is a media company. I actually worked for the Fox affiliate in Tulsa for 10 years and launched all their newscasts, director of marketing, and we had a lot of success. And then I started consulting for them. So I was traveling around the country, going to different television stations and consulting and really kind of trying to bring the success we had in Tulsa to these other markets. And, you know, it was a great job, dream job, making great money. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, I think entrepreneurs, you kind of are controlling and you like to do it your way and you think that's maybe the best way. So I had a little bit of that going on and corporate America is telling me, oh, you got to do it this way. And I think as a female, you know, I saw counterparts that were making more money than me doing the same job as me. And that's frustrating. And there was no reason for that. And so, you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what, if I have my own business and do my own thing, I can do it my way. I can make as much money as I want, depending on how much I want to work. No one's going to tell me I'm getting a 3% raise this year or no raise at all because we're, you know, cutting back and the economy's not well. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you kind of control your destiny on that front. And so that was a huge driver for me. I think people don't want to say it. They're, you know, they don't want to talk about money because, oh, they're in it for their heart and this and that. And yeah, you have to put a lot of heart into it. But let's get real. It's about making money. If you don't make money, you have no business. So I was out to make money, you know, to fulfill my dreams for my family and be able to do the things that we want to do. And really just to kind of say, I can do it. I can do it on my own. You know, I think those were kind of the drivers for me.
Excellent. And it's absolutely true. If you don't make money, you don't have a business. So therefore, decide if you want to go into business. Can you remember the last time, Deidre, that you wish you just had a job again and you weren't responsible for all of this around you?
That's a good question because that definitely enters, I think, everyone's mind as an entrepreneur. I would say when I was working those 12-hour days and the grind, you know, I had a website, so I worked at home, which was great. You know, that whole freedom thing that sounds great, but I had that office and that computer that I could never get away from. It was daunting me, you know, that I needed to go in there and do more work. So yeah, there were several times that I just said, you know what? I'm about to jump off a cliff here. I'm going on no sleep. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I'm making a little bit of traction, but haven't had the breakthrough yet. Haven't made any money because let's get real. You don't have that, you know, regular paycheck coming in until you get off the ground. And so a lot of that went through my mind all the time. But, you know, I kept seeing a little bit of improvement, which was encouraging. I did like, you know, having control and doing my own thing. Felt like I was making a difference more than if I was had to ask a committee to make a decision on anything. So that was the drive that kept me going. But there are plenty of days and you know, that I would say, gosh, should I just go back to corporate America? You know what? I had that nice paycheck coming in. I had that insurance. There was a lot of stuff I had to put up with, but there was a lot of stability to that as well. But now I look back and there's no way I would ever do that. But, you know, I tell people that I consult all the time. I tell Thrivers, you know, on thrive15.com, I say, okay, you had a job at one point, right? You got paid. You did a good job. You know you can always go back and do that. I mean, I worked at Banana Republic in college, so I always laugh and say, you know what? Banana Republic's always hiring. I can always go back and be a manager at Banana Republic, and that job's always sitting there, you know, or a Banana Republic-type job. So if you have to put food on the table, you know you can do it. And if that's in the back of your mind, I think that creates a little bit of comfort knowing, hey, I'm out on a limb right now, but I can always go back if I had to.
Yeah. Very, very well said. I like it. So you've mentioned control a few times. I like that. And we really like to.
None of my husband likes that, but
I was gonna say, it's like somebody's like, you're definitely the one in control. I can tell because in 8 minutes you've mentioned it, I think, three times.
That's funny.
Which I think is essential to your success. It really is that we do, and we have to. I think, although all of us as entrepreneurs are in control, most of us don't want to admit it, and we want to kind of off put the reasons why we didn't succeed at this, why this didn't happen is somebody else's fault. But when you yourself admit that you are in control, then you're also responsible. And that, I think, definitely pushes you forward towards more success.
Yes.
So I like it.
You know, and I think you have to have control of your business and you have to know what's going on. And most entrepreneurs do have that personality, which is what has kind of driving them to do what they do. A lot of people don't, you know, maybe want to admit that, but you know, whether you're controlling your freedom, controlling your money, you know, controlling whatever it is in your life that you want to have control over, you know, entrepreneurship can be the answer to that a lot of times.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And all right. Yeah. Okay. I'll let you go with control now.
But you're the interviewer, so I won't try to take control of that.
Excellent. All right, Deidre. Every blog post now, every expert talks 80-20 rule. Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Within your business, Deidre, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at?
Accounting. 100% accounting. I like to make money. I like to spend money. I don't want to see what's coming in and going out and pay attention to that or budget anything, which is not good. That's not a good thing for an entrepreneur. But, you know, I'm a marketing mind, sales mind, PR. That's my thing. I can come up with ideas all day. I can make stuff happen. I can get people to, you know, I can sell products. But when it comes to the accounting, that's just really my weakness. And, you know, I had to learn the hard way. I tried to do it myself in the beginning and it's just disastrous and quickly learned that this is not my thing. And I'm spending way more time and energy than I need to. Ended up finding a part-time mom that helped me that was really good and didn't charge a ton, you know, just wanting a few hours while her kids were at school and was a CPA and ended up working out great using someone like that. And it saved me money in the long run. There's just a lot of things from a tax perspective I didn't understand. I got, you know, hit with a $25,000, you know, I owed $25,000, you know, on my taxes the first year and just, you know, there's no need for that. You know, it's hard for an entrepreneur getting money yet in, but yet I'm owing $25,000 suddenly to IRS. That was not fun. You know, so just different things like that, that you can do from the beginning. If you have an accountant on board that knows what they're doing, different tax breaks, you know, owning your own business and just things that you can do to be a lot smarter that I had to learn the hard way.
So is there anything you've learned now? So you learned that the hard way, because looking back on it, you now realize that you took too long to realize that weakness in yourself. How do you do, like, what do you do now to have enough sort of self-awareness so that it doesn't take you too long again to realize your next big weakness?
Right. So one of the things that we do on Thrive15.com is we call it the Wheel of Wealth. And it's basically 20 areas of business that you need to know to start or grow a business. So we have all the Thrivers go on and you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how you are in each area. And really thinking about it, you know, from accounting, the human resources, customer service, marketing, sales, you know, all of those areas. And if you really start to think about it, and you should know, you know, what you're good at. I was never great at accounting in school. I didn't love math. You know, my husband laughs because I don't ever, well, he maybe laughs today. He wasn't laughing at some points in our marriage, but I don't like to budget my checkbook. I just, you know what, if there's money in there, great. You know, I'll check my balance and see if there's money in there, but I don't care what's coming in and going out. And I don't recommend that. I'm not saying that's a good practice. I'm just giving you my real life. And so, you know, I think that if you can sit down and rate yourself in each area, you know what you're good at and what you'll be successful at. And those are the areas that you need to, if you put 100% into, which is what I did, sales and marketing and PR, you know, my business grew really fast. And I had other people, you know, do the things that I don't like to do or not good at. And that's when that all started happening, when I realized that and bit the bullet and started paying some freelancers to help me. that's when my business really took off.
Nice, nice. And you're definitely not afraid of the selling and the marketing side, because you've mentioned thrive15.com like four times already. It's really good. Most people, they get all weird, like they want to say their business name, but they don't. So that you just like keep putting it in there. It's like, and it's cool. It's appreciated. And we will get to talk about it at the end. So, but I do, you keep saying sales and marketing, and then you're actually living it as you do it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's funny.
Excellent.
I do it without even thinking, actually.
I know.
These
you,
days.
I know. It's just in you. It's good. It's good. You have to do that. You need that skill. All right, DJ, we're going to move to work. Today is a work day. You got up in the morning and you needed to kind of get set up to do the things that you needed to do today. So from the time you woke up on a work day today, could you sort of walk us through the first 30 or 60 minutes if you have like a routine that you go through to set yourself up for the work day?
Yes, I'm very routined, and you might think I'm a little crazy after this conversation, but I get up every day at 4:30 a.m., and I go work out.
Wow.
So working out has always been something that it's my time. You know, I have two kiddos. I've got a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old, full-time working mom, busy, crazy schedule. And so that's like my time. That's my little sanctuary to get up. I have done this Boot Camp Tulsa class for 6 years and go meet a bunch of women. It was 38 degrees this morning. And we were all bundled up at 5 a.m. like crazy people doing this workout. But it's what's kept me going, honestly. I think, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have a lot of stress and, you know, sleep is not usually something that you get a ton of, but that's really where I get energized. So every single day I get up and I do that. And then I come home. And the reason I go so early is my family has no idea I was even gone. It doesn't disrupt their schedule or their lives. You know, so I'm able to come home. I think I'm a better mom. I'm, you know, ready to go for the day. I get my shower in and then I get everybody up and, you know, I've had that me time, and you get those endorphins going. Working out is always a good, you know, thing to kind of clear your head. So that I start with that. And then I get the kiddos ready for school, get everybody breakfast and all that good stuff. Luckily my husband takes them, so I can kind of finish getting ready. And then I met a potential client this morning for breakfast at 7:30 a.m. So had an early, they were laughing that it was so early. And I was like, wow, it feels like lunchtime to me. I've been up all day. No. And so went and did that. And then I had a client come in right before you called. And now this is like my little window of time talking to you. But, you know, I sit at my desk and meet pretty much back to back with clients. I do schedule time to, you know, kind of do get my thoughts, answer emails, all that good stuff. But I eat at my desk every single day, lunch. I bring my lunch. I like to be healthy, and I just don't want to waste time going to lunch, which sounds silly maybe to some people. But, you know, if I have a client lunch or something, yes, if I needed to do that. But just to go to lunch, I would rather get work done and then leave early and see my kiddos and go to soccer games and things like that in the evening. So that's kind of my day.
That's awesome. I love it. And so 4:30 a.m. wake up. At what point do you touch your email inbox for the first time?
Oh, shoot, 4:35.
you glossed over that part.
I know. I do. You know,
it sounded so holistic and healthy. Like I go to the gym and then it's all family.
I know. No, I usually, because I'm very good about, I shut my phone off at night. So I, you know, imagine if I go to bed, I mean, if I get up at 4:30, you can imagine by 9:30, I'm usually lights out asleep, like a grandma here. Yeah. But I shut my phone off 9 o'clock. My clients know, everybody knows, phone's off, don't answer, you know, can wait till the next day if they need something. So I usually get up 4:30, quickly look at my phone just to make sure there's not any fires over the night. I don't sit and answer emails, you know, unless it's something urgent that I need to do really quick, but I normally just glance that to make sure there's not a fire or something that needs to be put out really quick. And in, you know, PR, I do a lot of PR for clients. Sometimes there's media. I mean, media starts their day. You know, producers are in there at 2 a.m. for a morning show, so I'll get something from them. So if there's something urgent like that, I do always check, but then I don't check again until about 8:30 when I'm back to work and, you know, kind of settled in.
Totally. Just so it's, you can continue the next 3 hours with peace of mind, knowing that somebody's not desperately waiting for you.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I love it. It's a great routine. And now we're going to move on to projects. Projects is a very loose term. So, I mean, you went from starting and running multiple websites to selling them. to D2 branding, and now to working with Thrive 15. So it can be either choosing to do one of those as a massive project or now a project within D2 branding, however you want to answer this. But I would love to know right now sort of what your process is, Deidre, of when an idea for a new project comes across your inbox or your desk or just through your head, what process you go through to decide whether that project is something that's worth your time, money, and resources?
That's a great question. So I actually do this exercise with all of my clients all the time, because things come up and you decide, am I going to take this on? You know, I actually met with this morning, I met with a politician, somebody's going to run for political office. So that would be a huge project for me to take on, not just a client, but running a political campaign is, you know, a little bit beyond just a normal client. So something like that, I have to look at just with, and I tell all my clients this as well, so you can apply it to any of their businesses or any of my projects, is, you know, sitting down and coming up with what the work scope would look like. So, you know, how many hours would I need to put into this? How much money would I make? I mean, a profit and loss statement is very important. So from a standpoint of, you know, I take this new client on, for example, I'm going to have to staff up. I'm not going to be able to just, you know, do it with my current staff. A political campaign is going to be bigger than your normal PR client or marketing client. So what is that going to cost me? How much money am I going to get coming in? How many hours am I going to have to put into it? You know, what other expenses are going to come along with that? And what I think kind of the outcome would be. So I always tell people, you know, first write down kind of the scope of the project of exactly what do you need to do to be successful at this? You know, what are the goals, first of all? Now back it down to what are you going to have to do every single day to reach that goal? Because you have to do something every single day if you have a goal. And so how are you going to do that step by step? And then how much time is that going to take? And then how much money is that going to cost you to do? And so kind of looking at that in that scope, then you can really look and go, you know what, if I take this project on and I'm charging, you know, X amount of dollars a month, but yet I'm spending more than that in time and hiring people and expenses, probably not worth my time, or I need to adjust my pricing. You know, so that's a really good way of kind of evaluating, is this project worth taking on? Am I pricing it right? What is the outcome? And do I think that I can get there in a reasonable amount of time? I mean, some people may not be patient to put a year's work in, you know, to get to where they want to go. You know, so you kind of have to look at and be realistic about timeframes.
Yeah, I love the clarification of, does this work or do I need to adjust my prices? Because
right.
That's so many times something that we fail.
So many times you take on something that you maybe it's your heart's there and you think it's going to be great for your business and you start doing it. And then, you know, I meet with clients all the time or talk to Thrivers that say, you know, gosh, I put this down on paper and I realized how much time and energy I was putting into this. And I'm making like $2 an hour doing this, you know, and it happens all the time. You know, and sometimes those smaller projects can really eat up tons of time and not be as lucrative. So you got to kind of look, if your goal is in the game is money on that, it may not be the right project for you.
Yeah. Would you say that you're good at saying no to projects that don't fit your scope?
I am today. I was not like that a couple years ago. I used to take on any and every client because, you know, you start your business and you just never know. Mm-hmm. The next client's going to come along and, you know, that's scary unknown. And so I used to take a lot of clients on where I liked their business, but maybe I wasn't that passionate about it. And it wasn't really an industry that I loved, but you know what? I think I can help them. And it is more of a challenge for me. Like, I know my personality, I'm very passionate. So when I really like a product or a service that someone's doing and I believe in it, I work 10 times harder and we end up being a lot more successful. You know, and so I've learned that to say no to the things that really don't maybe strike a chord with me, or I don't love their business, it's not really something that I'm passionate about, then probably not a good idea for me to take on for both parties, because I don't think I can put as much heart and soul into it as I should. You know, I should. And it's just a lot more fun to do projects and work with people that where you really are passionate behind it. And I think the success comes through.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you're right. It is hard at the beginning because you're wondering if I turn this one down, will another one appear? But it does get better as you sort of go further on in your journey, and then you can be more discriminating.
Yes, definitely. No is a good thing to learn. And it's hard as an entrepreneur to learn no, but you can't go to every coffee house and meet with somebody. You can't, you know, speak at every group, and you can't, you know, you have to look and go, you know what, if I evaluate my day, is that going to push me to the goals that I've set? No, it's really not. So today I'm going to have to say no, you know?
Exactly.
And that's hard to do, but it's a very important thing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Deidre, this has been a lot of fun. It's been a great conversation. I want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Perfect.
So it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So it seems to be this place, as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we're always looking forward and always setting our successes into the future, meaning that in 1 month when you hit this revenue mark or get this client, or in 6 months when you speak on that stage, or when you do that in a year, you'll be successful. But right before you hit that, you just cancel that one out and set loftier ones into the future constantly. And so our success is always ahead of us, and we're stuck in this weird gap where we've come a long ways, but we're still never successful. So I would love to, if you right now could stop and turn around and look back at everything you've achieved, accomplished, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses through your entrepreneurial journey and your career just in general, and tell me up till today how you feel about everything you've accomplished up till now.
You know, I look back and I'm definitely proud of my accomplishments. I think I did a lot in a short amount of time that I'm very proud of. But there's, you know, I think there's always like, oh gosh, I should have done this or I should have done that, because you don't know until you're living through it. So you're going to make mistakes. And actually that's how you learn. You know, all the mistakes you made make you better, and you're going to turn around and do it better the next time and not repeat that mistake, hopefully. So I, you know, you can look at it both ways. The things I went through give me compassion with my clients and with the thrivers that I talk to, tons of compassion, because you know what? I've been there. I've made stupid accounting mistakes. I've done dumb things. I've wasted money on things I shouldn't have done, you know, tried to do things I wasn't good at. And so I'm able to be compassionate with them and say, you know what? I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. This is how we're going to fix that. Don't do what I did. You know, so I think that that makes me a better consultant and a better mentor on Thrive15.com. So, you know, from a standpoint of, would I change anything? No, I think that was my path. That's what I went down. That's what I needed to learn to get where I am today. But if I could have at the time, you know, wove a wand and maybe changed a few things to make my life easier, well, who wouldn't do that?
Exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. Okay, Deidre, we've got to talk about your business in passing. So could you specifically tell the listener where to find out more about you and your business?
Yes. So D2 Branding is my company. And basically we do, you know, heavy marketing consulting and PR, but really all around business consulting. And so you can find me at d2branding.com. And I mentioned thrive15.com earlier. I'm also a mentor on Thrive. I have videos on there that you can watch. You can actually go on thrive15.com and put in code MOM, M-O-M. And you can watch all of my videos. So you can see how I started my business, how I sold my business. You know, one of my most popular videos is how to market without money. I had no money. I started websites and I had no marketing budget and I just hustled. And so you can kind of find out how can you do that? Because that's one of the number one things I think people are, you know, they start a business, you put all your money into your business, and then it's like, oh shoot, I need money for marketing, but I don't have any left. But there's some creative things you can do and be smart with that. So those are the two ways you can find me.
Excellent. D2branding.com and thrive15.com with the code MOM. I will link to both of those in the show notes. Plus, Clay Clark was on the show about 6 months ago, I'm going to say. He's still one of my most popular episodes ever.
I love it.
It was called How to Let Your Business Thrive by Getting Out of Its Way. I'll also link to that in the show notes. If you haven't listened to that, go back, check out Clay, and you can also find him on thrive15.com. So, Deidre, thank you again so much for taking the time to join me today. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Oh, thank you, John. I had a lot of fun. So you have a great day.
Excellent. Thanks. Deidre, thank you so much for joining me. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed that conversation. And I think that you out there listening will have gotten a lot out of it too. So I have these notes that I took during the conversation, and they are messy and there's a lot of them, which tells me that it was a conversation that really engaged me and intrigued me. So that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. But there was these four times that I had marked down during the conversation. So I went back and I listened to them afterwards to see if there was one thing that Deidre said. And upon listening back to it, there was. There was one thing that Deidre said that really, really, really stood out to me. one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
People don't want to say it. They're, you know, they don't want to talk about money because, oh, they're in it for their heart and this and that. And yeah, you have to put a lot of heart into it, but let's get real. It's about making money. If you don't make money, you have no business.
And that's the hack. Deidre. You are absolutely right. People don't want to say this, do they? But this is so absolutely true. Yes, you have to have heart. Yes, you need to. You have to have a passion for the business itself, not necessarily the market that you're entering. This goes back to a conversation I had with Ryan Dice a few months back. And I think the headline of the episode ended up being, be passionate. You don't have to be passionate about the market, be passionate about the business, something like that. Meaning that, as you say, Deidre, you need the passion for the business in order for it to succeed, but you cannot just solely focus on doing something that you're passionate about and not make any money. Because without money, you don't have a business. Without a business, you have to go back and get a job. And the whole vicious cycle starts again. So yes, you're right. People don't like to admit this. And we're often told, like, follow your passion. Your passion can be your business. Your passion can be creating something out of nothing, taking it out to the world, providing value to a community, having that community pay you back with money, and then taking that money and doing whatever you want. And it'll buy you, that money will buy you the freedom to follow your passions. And you have to be passionate about your business, about your product, about your service, but you don't have to be necessarily passionate about the exact market that you enter. This is so, so, so true. And this is so, I'm so glad that you clarified this, Deidre, because this is very, very, very smart and definitely something that we need to keep our minds on, our sights on, as we enter into our first market or into new markets with new businesses. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Deidre. All right. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for your time. As always, hacktheentrepreneur.com. Wow, there's actually something really cool. I wonder if any of you could try this. If you haven't left me a review for the show yet on iTunes, and you're on your iPhone right now, if you can type in this into, like, go to Chrome or Safari, whatever you use, and type in hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. And when you click go, it will literally open up your podcast app to the review page on Hack the Entrepreneur in iTunes. And you can literally just leave it. It's amazing. It's this cool new magical link that I've created. hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. If you're on an iPhone or an iPad right now, try it out. It's pretty, pretty darn cool. If not, it's cool. It's so still so cool that you're here. It really, really is. I'm so happy that you take the time to stop by. And yeah, reach out to me anytime you want. John Nastor, JonNastor, on Twitter. I'm always on there, way, way, way too much. Or John@hacktheentrepreneur.com. That's my email address. Email me anything you would like to ask me, talk, say hi. I'd love to hear from you. That's it. It's been fun, as always. Thank you. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.